Welcome once again to In the Garden with Kelly and Char. Char, how does your garden grow?
I'm doing my daily garden tours, checking to see what's new every day. Different color in the garden every single day.
It's wonderful to see the progress at long last.
Yes, it is.
I just want to give a shout out before we get started with today's topic on some of the beautiful specimens that are just wonderful. The gentleman down by the radio station here with the yellow magnolia.
Oh, yes.
There's a couple of those. There's actually three of them in town, and I've gone to see every single one of them. And how is your magnolia this year?
I have the pink one, Jane variety. It did get nipped a little bit by frost one morning, so then magnolia blossoms turn brownish.
They do. It's one of the strangest trees. The blooms come out full force and then the leaves.
I know. They're just so beautiful. And I don't know about the yellow, but the Jane is very fragrant.
I love some sort of fragrance in the yard. It just makes it certified that we're into summer already, and it's hard to believe that the frost has been replaced finally. I feel so badly for some of the people who are so energetic and they're so impatient. They have to have their flowers and their plants outside and planted, and they lost a lot in May. Oh,
yes, that's true, and it is sad.
Yes. So haste makes waste.
Yep.
Well, speaking of haste, we're going to talk about things that always seem to be very hasty, and those are our wonderful winged creatures in our gardens, and that's our birds.
You bet, our feathered friends. We all enjoy watching birds, especially during the dull winter months. Nothing gets our heart pumping than to see a bright red male cardinal at the feeder, or because they like to feed from the ground. Maybe he's sitting in all his red splendor on a layer of white snow. There's not a lot of color in a Minnesota winter, so thank goodness for the cardinals. But we can enjoy birds of all species year-round, and there are a few factors to think about if you are interested in drawing or attracting birds to your backyard. Location. A prime location for any planting with birds in mind is generally away from a busy street side location if you reside directly in town. Also, if you have a lot of neighborhood cats, make sure whatever plant-derived shelter or for plants that provide food, that the plants or shrubs grow tall enough that can ensure the bird is out of harm's way. Specimens. We could talk about two things here. Specimens of plants and trees that birds favor, and or what specimens of birds you might want to attract to your yard. First, the type of plants and trees that would be beneficial. Evergreen trees are the most desired by wintering birds such as cardinals. They can find shelter under the thick, heavy branches of the evergreens. Chickadees love an evergreen too. Then in spring, the nests that birds build in evergreens are perhaps a little more protected by the overhanging branches than, say, a deciduous tree like a maple or an oak. As for types of birds, generally one wants to shy away from attracting starlings and sparrows, but it's pretty hard to avoid them if they decide you've got some good victuals for them to snack on.
I have some sparrows in my Martin house, much to my chagrin. Oh. They move in every year, and they're really hard to evict.
Yes, they are. Aww. Protection. A windbreak is always appreciated by our feathered friends. Evergreens, as I just mentioned, provides a dense cover for birds in wintertime. Lilac hedges, too, are quite wonderful in spring and summertime, providing a lot of protection from overhead predators like those sharp-shinned hawks who can't access the birds if they're tucked tidily away in the thick of the branches. My dwarf Miss Kim lilac has hosted literally thousands of birds over the years, and I've seen quite a few sharp-shinned hawk thwarted by the thick cover of my Miss Kim. Maybe it's popular too, Kelly, because of the location of my Miss Kim next to the bird feeder, you think? Another shrub I have that needs pruning down desperately, but now I hesitate to do so, is my forsythia, which has gotten out of hand. However, whenever I walk past it, there's a myriad of birds dwelling in its close together branches, especially near its base. So I'm not sure I want to prune it down too far. Out here in the country on the farm, I have an accumulating brush pile that happens, it seems like, on a yearly basis. Wind damage, last year's garden debris, etc. I find that those little two-tone gray junco birds love, love, love that brush pile for shelter. And this year, I found they were even building nests in the brush pile. Guess I'll have to wait to move the pile until their little clutches have hatched and flown the coop.
I have just one like that, only it has 5 bunnies in it.
Oh, well, a different kind of critter, right? Juncos tend to feed, live, and stay close to the ground, so it makes sense that they chose my brush pile for their home. Before I get to talk about specific foods for birds in the backyard, Kelly, you once had a suggestion, or perhaps it's something you do, using a Christmas tree that has passed its prime, correct?
That's true. In fact, I have 2 Christmas trees, both natural, and then I also have 2 really scrawny, used artificial trees. And I have them propped up against some kind of scrawny trees in the back of our house. And there is a beautiful cardinal nest that I discovered last night. And there's 2 wonderful little cardinal baby eggs in there. Also, a cowbird egg is also in there, making it a trio. But the cowbird egg is much larger, and you can tell that it didn't come from the cardinal. So when Mama's off gathering some food, I'm going to remove the cowbird egg, because what happens, Char?
The cowbird is a crafty, not a very nice bird. It lays its eggs in the nest of other birds that are currently nesting, and its baby, when it hatches, will evict the original owner's eggs, or babies, rather. That cowbird baby will, with its wings, its unformed wings or feet, literally evict those 2 little baby cardinals.
Because it's much bigger.
Right, it's a lot bigger. So sad to say, but that's what happens. Food for the birds in the backyard. Here's where types of trees and shrubs to plant comes into play. Let's be a little more specific than we were a few moments ago. The viburnum family has several varieties. The viburnum dentatum with blue-black berries, the Mohican viburnum, whose fruit is orange-red, and the compact European cranberry bush. Cranberry bush is in the viburnum family, just so you know. Don't choose the dwarf European cranberry bush because it rarely flowers, which means no fruit for hungry birds. Serviceberry. The Regent Saskatoon serviceberry has dark purple to black fruit. Its fruit is sweet and good for eating and even making jelly. So, you know, anything we people might find appealing to eat is sure to draw the birds. By the way, Regent Saskatoon serviceberry was a 2007 Great Plants for the Great Plains winner, hardy all the way up to zone 2. Now, there's also barberries. Even though they usually have sharp stickers, most varieties in this family have red fruit. Kelly, did you have a suggestion where to use a barberry?
Around your house, under windows. It really detours predators, including those hawks that come after our sparrows and juncos. They will hide in our barberry to protect themselves. But if you want to use them as a deterrent against criminal activity, let me tell you, every time I prune mine, I'm deterred.
A lot of dogwood shrubs have fruit that birds also enjoy. Most have bluish-black fruit, although there's a variety called First Edition's Baton Rouge dogwood. It has white berries, but But don't worry, the birds will find it. Baton Rouge makes a wonderful wintertime display, also with its bright red stems. So there's another reason to look for that variety, hardy in zone 3. Most of the shrubs I'm mentioning today are hardy in zone 4, by the way.
And also, once again, we'd like to remind you, you're listening to In the Garden with Kelly and Char, and we are looking at all the different ways that we can attract birds, providing them with protection and also with something to snack on while they're in our yards.
You bet. In the Ilex family, that's I-L-E-X, which includes holly and winterberries, those have gorgeous red berries to grace their shrubs, the winterberries especially. If the birds leave you enough stalks or branches with berries on it, you could always use them for wintertime or Christmastime decorations. The flowering crabapple, and I'm referring to most all of the varieties in this family. If the crabapple tree keeps some of its fruit over winter, and if that fruit doesn't drop off in a strong northwesterly January gale, those dried up little apples in springtime, when there's not a lot of food around, will provide an early arriving robin with a little nourishment, especially if the ground is still frozen or too cold for earthworms, which constitutes the bulk of a robin's diet.
I've also noticed that the cedar waxwings come back to my crabapple tree just for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Really? Oh, you get wax wings. I saw once in my whole life. Lucky Kelly. Robins love those little crab apples so much. And another tree that has berries, the mountain ash. Most birds like their berries. And since we're talking birds, we dare not overlook that tiny wonder of wonders, the ruby-throated hummingbird. In some previous shows, we've talked about the feeding of hummingbirds with the sugar nectar in a glass or plastic feeder. But today, let's turn our thoughts to the plant kingdom. Hummingbirds do like the color red in flowers, but they will visit any blooming flower that perhaps is endowed with some syrup. Small structures called nectaries are found at the base of the plant's stamens in the very center of the flower. Those nectaries provide food rewards for insect and bird pollinators. Most of the time, the flower with such nectaries is also a fragrant flower, such as the honeysuckle vine. Hummingbirds also are attracted to a flower that is easy for them to drink from, something with a tube-like shape, the tall red lobelia blossoms. I'm referring to the perennial lobelias now. There are annual lobelias which are not as appealing to the hummers. There's petunias, million bells, or calibrachoa, the nicotiana plant, or also that's called the ornamental tobacco plant. That comes in red, pink, or white. And bee balm. Bee balms are not just for bees. Hummers love them too.
I've also noticed that my hummingbirds really like my canna lilies.
Some varieties are fragrant, but most do not have a fragrance, but they must have those nectaries. Hummingbirds regularly visit mine too. The old standard red canna is what I have. And also gladiolas. As I said, all these have a throat that is easy for the hummingbird to drink from. So plant some of these plants and see who you might find appreciating your thoughtfulness. If you're a lover of Baltimore Orioles, I haven't any special instruction for plants they might feed from, but remember, in addition to feed-in feeders, Oriole feeders, that has a yellow or orange cast to it, they also like grape jelly set out in pans or dishes. Also, they like to snack on oranges cut in half. I usually put a nail on a post and push an orange half down on it. So they love both oranges and grape jellies. While we're at it, we better mention attracting birds to the backyard will be easier too if you have a bird bath. The only thing, it requires commitment. You must keep the bird bath clean and also filled with water, especially in dry times of the year. I always said I would like a heated bird bath for Christmas someday, but that too is a little finicky. When it's cold, you still need to make sure the water is clean and that it doesn't get used up or evaporates because of the heating element. Try doing any of those chores with bare hands when it's 30 below. So I might rethink my Christmas wish. Once you've established a bird-friendly backyard, if you don't already have a bird ID book, consider picking one up. You'll be surprised. You might spot something other than a robin, sparrow, or even other than a cardinal. I just spotted a pair of red-breasted grosbeaks favoring my suet feeder. I just stood there and watched them. They don't visit me every year, so I'm not going to miss a single moment of their visit. The male is so colorful. His mate is very much like a sparrow, except she's got a distinctive white eyebrow above her eye. But my go-to birding book is the Audubon Society Field Guide to North American Birds. Wonderful, wonderful book. Since many of the species, like the Baltimore Orioles, return to the very same neighborhood or even the yard that they found food in or were hatched in, you could look at it this way. By planning a bird-friendly environment, you are creating a summer home for a bird out there somewhere. So some good advice. Consider the birds of the air. Our feathered friends will help ease your worries, put things in perspective, and help put you in touch with nature in all its beauty.
Well, from the birds of the air to something on the ground, we're going to have a question posed to Char today. It's about a slimy little thing called a slug. I don't even want to touch that. So let's ask Char.
Tips for getting rid of slugs. My old go-to standby is beer in a pie plate or saucer, which is a non-chemical way to get rid of those slimy pests. Another thing you can use, coffee grounds, eggshells crushed up, wood chips sprinkled around the plant. They don't like to crawl over rough stuff. Another thing, if you have to resort to something chemical, there is a product called Sluggo. That works too.
All right. Slugging those slugs. Anybody who has hostas know that slugs can really do a lot of damage. Well, we hope that we've given you some ideas about birds and about ways to make your backyard attractive to them. And we hope that you find some wonderful winged specimens in your backyard sometime soon. Thanks so much, Char. Happy gardening.
Happy birding.
That's our show for today. Be sure to tune in next week to In the Garden with Kelly and Char. Heard each Wednesday on KDWA Radio and online at kdwa.com. Time is close, rain for rain, sudden rain. I find my